Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Oh my gosh, are you sweaty? It's National Radio Day, declared by people in radio. How will we celebrate? Not at all. Dr. Dave Iser with our amazing weekend weather featuring a hurricane.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. Buffalo's favorite strip club owner. Murder? Maybe? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
I imagine you had a long, hard, stressful week with work, family, all these other obligations hanging over your head. But I'm going to bring you six people from Florida who had a worse week than you did. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Vilo Hul. Shark attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Are you excited that we're here? We're live? Oh my gosh. Did you hear TJ Lubinsky last week? Did you hear him sharing this very special airtime, you, me, and TJ Lubinsky? You know who he is. You watch those rock concerts on public television. There's no other reason to watch public television, but you've seen those rock concerts on public television. And then they do fun drives in between the songs that you really want to hear. The local host or hostess shows up, and then they're always with this guy who's in a navy blue suit, who's very earnest, very determined, telling you all sorts of things about the Shirelles you never knew about. And oh my gosh, it's TJ Lubinsky. But I'm going to tell you something about TJ that you may not know. Can you hear me better now? I hope so. That you may not know, which is this. TJ has been producing, what I say, he produces those concerts. The guy who's pitching you money in the navy blue suit, usually a three-piece suit, he owns those concerts for 25 years. He has produced them. Sometimes he directs them. He hosts the fun drives, but for 25 years he's been doing, that means that he has over 800 individual performances on video, state-of-the-art video for public television, that he owns, and he owns the rights, and he wants to sell the whole thing. Now, you're rich. You think about that. You could start your own Pluto channel if you had all of those concerts, right? You think about that. Oh, you want my email? Find out more? Hey, no problem. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And congratulations tonight. We're celebrating Harry Hurley at WPG Talk Radio 95.5 in Atlantic City. Thank you, Mr. Hurley. And thank you, Kurt Johnson, who's the head of programming for Town Square Media, because this is National Radio Day. So I'm going to mention radio people. Oh, Paul Vandenberg, my biggest fan, the best guy at Talk Radio 1300 in Albany, New York. Why don't we have more reports from Paul? We should have reports from Paul about the crooks in Albany, New York. And then welcome, welcome, welcome. KSAR-FM in Arkansas, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. KSAR-FM, you have risked your license by joining Sterling on Sunday. Welcome to the giant radio show. And I have to mention, I was forced against my will to go to the Outer Banks of North Carolina for the past week to be with my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and my wife's parents for a week. My kids love the Outer Banks. Me, I'm a Jersey Shore guy. Please note that this week, where did Taylor Swift go to a wedding? She didn't go to the Hamptons. She went to the Jersey Shore. because what you're going to see over the next few months is the Jersey Shore becomes the happening place now that the Hamptons has made it impossible for anybody but venture capitalists and Howard Stern to afford a home in the Hamptons. 30, 40 years ago, those were potato fields, and there were little beach shacks, and it was all very charming and nice, and you could go out there regardless of what you earned, and you could. But it's the traffic is insane. Once you get out there, you immediately feel poor. It's like going to Bermuda. You immediately feel poor when you go to Bermuda. Now you go to the Hamptons. I don't care who you are. You immediately feel poor. You go to the Jersey Shore, and you fit right in. For a misfit like you and me, you can go to the Jersey Shore. You go to the Wildwood if you lived in Philadelphia. You go to Beach Haven if you live in the center or the northern part of the state. You go to Margate to look at the Margate Elephant with David Yadgaroff. David's sitting there on his porch smoking a cigar, looking at the Margate Elephant in Margate. So much to do. The great thing about the Jersey Shore, if you don't love the beach, all you have to do is turn around, face the other way. And what do you see? Pizza. Miniature golf. Go-kart rides. Arcades where you throw balls against milk bottles and lose $10, $20, $30 in 30 seconds because you don't know the trick. But your 13-year-old knows the trick. That's the great thing about the Jersey Shore. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, you will leave broke and happy. Whereas if you go to the Hamptons, you will leave broke and miserable that you don't have more money. And that's what I think America's realizing, that the Jersey Shore is a much better deal than the Hamptons. I drive to the Outer Banks of North Carolina to see my in-laws against my will, to see my sister-in-law against my will. And sure enough, she didn't disappoint. She gave me hours of quality broadcast material. But on the way there, we stopped at a place in Berkeley Springs, Maryland. Berkeley Springs, Maryland. Do you know where that is? No, nobody knows where that is. Berkeley Springs, Maryland. I think it was the site of many Civil War battles, but who knows? We stop, we see this, you know, cute little ice cream place where you know you're going to get ripped off. And we go in, and I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, this is not a normal place. It's called the Lazy Sunday. Get it? The Lazy Sunday. And it has homemade ice cream and tchotchkes and comfortable seats. Usually those places have really average ice cream and sort of sticky seats. Oh, the jokes I could make. Sort of sticky seats. But you know, what I've found is that in radio today, nobody has a sense of humor at all. Not even Steve Moore, who won an Edward R. Murrow Award at KMOX. Oh my God, Steve, congratulations. But usually those places are a little sticky and they're not that clean. No, no. This place is immaculate. It's called the Lazy Sunday in Berkeley Springs, Maryland. That's not why you should go there. It should be assumed that the place is clean. That shouldn't be a big feature. I like peanut butter. They have a peanut butter vanilla ice cream that was insane. The thickest, creamiest vanilla ice cream I have ever had. And chunks of peanut butter. Identifiable chunks of peanut butter. I didn't have to dig around for the peanut butter, and it was one scoop. And normally with one scoop, you go, well, you know, I don't know. And this filled me up. It wasn't even a full scoop. They were a little skimpy with the scoop there. But it was incredible. I could not have eaten any more. That's how rich it was. The Lazy Sunday in Berkeley Springs, Maryland. No, they're not paying me for it. No, they're not sending me ice cream for it. No, they're not doing anything like that. I just really love to say that a place is great because it is great. This is National Radio Day. And coming up soon, I will figure out what to do for National Radio Day, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is a great summer week. It's a great summer night. I love nights like this with the crescent moon. And it's a little too warm and a little too cool at the same time. And it's just you and me. Just you and me in the 18-wheeler. The kids are asleep in the back seat of your sedan, of your SUV, which you bought against your will. And you're driving home, and it's taken a little longer than it should. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this special time with me. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Brittany Snow.
It's hot out there. You must be awful thirsty. I want to be in the movie. Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
You know, the great thing about Brittany Snow is she was the star of American Dreams, and she was the star of the three Pitch Perfect movies. The good one, that was the first one, and then the second two, which were not so good, but I guess were contractual obligations. She's adorable, and she just got a divorce because her idiot husband, this guy who was a surfer and realtor, he was on Selling Sunset, that terrible reality show, and he flirted on the air. And apparently, I don't watch the show, but apparently there was kissing involved. Brittany was horrified. You don't cheat on Brittany Snow, because in addition to being really cute and a good girl, Brittany also plays a bad girl. There was a Nip/Tuck episode where she played a bad girl. And to have both of these fantasies, both the girl who you can introduce to mom and take to the country club and take to your Republican fundraiser, and the girl who likes to do secret things later. Oh, my God, what else would you want? And this idiot divorced, earned a divorce from Brittany Snow. How? And she has a job. Oh, my gosh. And she earns a ton of money. There she is. She's a Florida girl. Therefore, she has blonde hair, knows how to tan, and has that southern thing going on. And she makes money. She makes a ton of money. Meanwhile, you're on Selling Sunset, a show that will not be lasting much longer, guaranteed. Oh, my gosh, there's James Copeland. James Copeland, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, good evening, Walter.
Now, James is the morning man of the dominant radio station in Coffeyville, Kansas. Has it been about 9 months now, James?
Yeah, we're coming up on a year of me controlling the mighty 690 every morning.
The Mighty 690 in Coffeyville, Kansas, which is owned by a family?
It is, yeah. A very great family. They own the station, a couple stations in Oklahoma and a couple stations in Kansas, and that's it. And they're quite hands-on, so we're lucky to have them.
Now, how handsy are they?
Oh, they are, they'll say, hey, have you sprayed the weeds yet around the towers? You know, they always want to know about the weeds.
You're responsible for the morning show and the towers.
Oh, yeah, everything.
How many towers does it have?
We are currently talking through four towers, so it's directional at all times, and we do two towers during the day, four at night, and as you can imagine, a lot of snakes die each year from coming across very high voltages.
A smart station with five towers, you have four, you can use this as well. They used to say, five towers of power. They turned it into a positive, even though those of us in radio on National Radio Day know that it can go either way. But you have four towers of power. Can you cut that promo tomorrow?
Yeah, we can cut it right now. We're rolling, so it's good.
Now, will you share with me the fact that you were at a rodeo today, a rodeo and demo today this weekend? How did that go? I can't envision you at a rodeo. Now, please share with us the experience.
Oh, yeah. And this is a big, big weekend in Coffeyville. We had the Interstate Fair and Rodeo, and we had two nights of rodeo, which, you know, your normal, bull riding and all that sort of thing, and the bareback riding, you know, everyone likes that. But we did have two nights of the actual demo derby, which is something that would only happen in America. I mean, you have just absolute insanity. I mean, we had minivans. I mean, we culled a lot of minivans from Coffeyville this weekend. I mean, they were just running around all over the place. And, you know, it's a sport where it's true, like, you know, gladiator sport, where it's the last car running that gets out of it. And there's some big money too. $5,000 was the top prize each night on a Friday and Saturday. So I mean, it was a big deal, and it was quite fun to watch. I mean, and we do know now that a Crown Vic will outlast any car. So if you are driving a Crown Vic, you're going to be in good shape. I mean, your engine can be at an impossible angle, and you'll still be able to keep driving.
That's our correspondent in Coffeyville, Kansas, James Copeland, updating us on the rodeo, which has taken place. And you keep referring to an event called a demo. Where I'm from, that's Tupperware. I need you to back up 1 second and please tell me what a demo event is at a rodeo.
Yeah, so we have the rodeo night, which brings out a very distinct crowd, you know, belt buckles, hats, all that good stuff. And then you get to the demo derby night, and you have a lot fewer teeth and that sort of thing usually going on. But it's still a great group of people. And the demo derby is where you have cars that start out in an arena, and then they start hitting each other, just willy-nilly, you know, craziness. You have just bam, you know, you have station wagons that turn into sedans. I mean, it's absolute mayhem. And there seems to be no rules. There are apparently rules, but no one really knows what they are. And so you have cars just crashing. And finally, these cars get so disabled. I saw cars on three wheels last night just roll around. I mean, and they get to the point where they cannot drive anymore. Sometimes they do catch on fire. There will be fire coming out of the tailpipes and that sort of thing. And, you know, the fire department's standing by to put out any minor fires and that sort of thing. And then once the last car that gets out alive, that wins it all.
How many cars are in this event?
So we had, for the final heat, I think they had like 16 cars within a rodeo arena, but they had several different heats to get even to that point. So we're talking, you know, probably at least about 30 drivers per night.
What's the prize for being the last car standing?
So each night, the last car will get $5,000, and then they do award some minor prizes as well.
But if the purpose of it is to slam into other cars, do people get hurt?
Surprisingly, not as much, at least with the full-size cars. I think the compacts, you kind of get thrown around a bit more. The other thing you have to remember is some of these cars will actually get disabled in one of the heats, and then they bring them out, and they have to try to get them working again for the next heat. So they have these mechanics out here who are doing just crazy stuff, you know, wild things to try to get these cars going. Because, you know, they'll blow radiator hoses, and you've got steam going up, and just in fires, you have grinding, you know, gears that are coming off and sparks flying from underneath these cars. It's just wild.
Now, on your radio station in Coffeyville, Kansas, on your radio station where you are the morning host and you're also the tradio host, how has the acceptance been to Sterling on Sunday on, what is it, Sunday nights?
Yeah. Well, on KGGF here, as we are talking live, people do like having more live programming. And of course, they say, you know, well, we really don't want politics on the weekends. I mean, I think we should have less politics probably on the radio in general. But that has been one comment, and I think we've been able to provide that, and I hope they are continuing to enjoy it. And you have to remember, too, the station hasn't been running 24/7 until fairly recently. It wasn't until the new family bought it, because in the past, they would just turn it off at night to save some money and sign it back on at 5 in the morning. It used to be is you'd have to send someone out to the transmitter site, and they would spend the night and then turn it on in the morning back in the day.
So somebody looked forward to the fact that the station was not 24 hours so they could have housing. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they did. They would the DJs would flip a coin, and they would see who got to go spend the night at the transmitter site. And then they would have to wake up and check, you know, the call rad receiver and all that sort of thing, and then turn it on.
That's how most of those people spent their prom night.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they have to be out there.
James Copeland is a great friend of Sterling on Sunday. I know you had more than a little to do with getting us on the air in Coffeyville, Kansas. I am grateful to you. Congratulations on your almost 1 year success doing Morning Drive. If I want to listen to you live stream, how do I do that?
You can go to kggfradio.com or anywhere within the heartland of America at 690 a.m.
Thank you so much. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away.
Isn't this exciting? Congratulations for finding Sterling on Sunday. Big show tonight. We're going to talk to Keith Fons, who's in Alaska, about the scandals of Alaska. I've got Dave Scott with an update on UFOs, and I'm going to share with you the intimate and profoundly horrible experience I had living with my sister-in-law for a whole week. Dr. Dave Iser, weather, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Buffalo's favorite strip club owner. Murder? Maybe? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
I imagine you had a long, hard, stressful week with work, family, all these other obligations hanging over your head. But I'm going to bring you six people from Florida who had a worse week than you did. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Shark attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you. To the Tampa area, where in the skies above Tampa is a police helicopter, and they were doing their normal work, and they noticed a little flash in their equipment, their video camera that they constantly have going, just blew up white. And what that means is someone's pointing a laser at them. Actually, it blew up green. And you've heard these stories about how they find some guy and arrest him for pointing a laser at a helicopter or airplane or something. And I always wondered, how do they catch these dudes? Well, you want to see what happens when they catch them? The Tampa police put it on YouTube, and this is I find this absolutely fascinating. Now, you're going to hear the audio just fine, but what you're missing is there is a police helicopter that is floating overhead, and it looks like you're just doing Google Maps at night from a 45-degree angle. And his little camera zooms in so well that after a couple of flashes, he finds the apartment window, and he can lock his video camera on this. So even if he's flying around, there's a little X that he puts on there that it'll keep the camera frame focused on that X that will stay in the center. And so then what happens is they just wait for him to do it a couple more times, and they figure out which window it is, and they can tell the cops exactly where to go. Hey, he's on the second floor, and here's the corner of the streets. And I guess you have to know the map.
Pretty good. Now, I got somebody at Bush at 56 hitting us with a green laser.
Yep, it's that simple. That I never saw that before. I always wondered how that happened. Now you know. And some Florida man had to go to jail for me to learn that, but I appreciate that. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm stuck in a beautiful home with my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, who I don't like, and they have young kids. I have an 11-year-old. They have, I don't know what it is, 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, three boys. And I noticed that my sister-in-law never lets the youngest kid watch Mr. Beast on television. No, not the youngest, like the middle one, the one who's like 9 or 10. Never lets the kid watch Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is an online video star. Huge star. Now, let me tell you what Mr. Beast does. First of all, you should know. Sorry if you're that out of it. You're too big a misfit. Sorry, but you should know who Mr. Beast is, because he is pretty much the most watched star on YouTube, a user-generated content star. What does Mr. Beast do? Mr. Beast comes up with wacky challenges to himself to raise money. He's a pure entrepreneur. He'll go to Paris and he'll say, I have to figure out how to get home. I only have a quarter. And he does what he has to do over the next week to raise enough money to fly home. Oh my gosh. Most of the money that Mr. Beast makes making these videos, he donates to charity, and he donates to people who are in trouble. Every time my nephew, who was 10, 11, watched Mr. Beast, either on his laptop or his iPad or put it on the TV, my sister-in-law would look at him. That scowly mother look, that rotten mother look. Yes, you remember that look. she doesn't want him watching Mr. Beast. She does not want him watching Mr. Beast. My 11-year-old daughter watches a character who's very similar called Unspeakable. And Unspeakable does wacky stunts with his buddies. They decide, for example, to live in a school bus for a week and see how that works out. It's just stupid stuff, right? Millions and millions and millions of views. But my sister-in-law doesn't want the kid watching Mr. Beast. And I said to her, it's none of my business. And I made sure no one was around. I don't want to embarrass her. I said, you don't have to answer. It's none of my business. But can I ask why you don't want your son to watch Mr. Beast? Now, the reason I wanted to know was because if she had a good reason, that then maybe my 11-year-old daughter shouldn't be watching Mr. Beast. I don't know. She says, it's completely inappropriate for children. I said, why? He raises money and he donates it to charity. Yes, but he uses inappropriate language. I said, well, he can't curse on YouTube. They don't allow him to curse on YouTube. He won't be monetized. He won't make money for videos on YouTube that have cursing. But he says other things that are inappropriate. And I'm like, this is my nightmare. This is my nightmare. Therefore, making it more attractive to his kid, to her kid, making it more. And then I said, well, okay, thank you for telling me. Like I said, it was none of my business. And my sister-in-law says, then why did you ask? If you don't think it's your business, why did you ask? I said, no, I didn't say it wasn't my business. I said, you can decide whether or not it's my business or not and leave. Now, have you seen Mr. Beast? Have you seen Untouchable? Whatever it is. But Mr. Beast is the big thing. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. I work on the premise with these online videos that unless I'm hearing cursing in the background and unless I'm seeing scantily clad people running into the pool on these videos, I don't care. Because I believe my 11-year-old will get bored very quickly with things that are not appropriate for her, and they do. So she watches SS Sniper Wolf. SS Sniper Wolf is this attractive young woman who watches TikTok videos and comments on them. That's what she does. Every time she makes a comment, 500,000 views, 2 million views, 20 million views. She has a really nice house because the YouTube videos get paid. They get paid by YouTube because it's valuable content. You know why they get paid by YouTube? They get paid by YouTube because YouTube made the mistake about 10 years ago of going to Hollywood and finding big television stars to make YouTube videos. And nobody watched them. Nobody watched them. But user-generated content, people watched it because they understood. People at home who understood YouTube knew how to make videos for the medium. Every medium creates its own stars. I, for example, am a radio star. You put me on TV, I won't know how to read the prompter. Or listen on Thanksgiving weekend to any talk station that you might enjoy, like KMOX in St. Louis. Any talk station you might enjoy, and you will hear the local weatherman, the weatherman on one of the big TV stations. He'll do a show on the local talk station. Do you know why he's doing the show? Because he has begged for 6 months to the program director to, oh, please let me fill in. Let me be a vacation relief on your station, please. Because he has all these things to say that he can't say in the 2.5-minute weather segment that's on prompter and approved. And now he gets on a talk station. And he's so excited he's going to have 3 minutes, 3 hours to say whatever he wants. You know what happens? Beware the fifth minute. By the fifth minute, everything he ever imagined he wanted to say without a script, all of a sudden he can't say. But Mr. Beast and Unspeakable YouTube, TikTok videos. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I think it's okay for her to watch them. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. No, I do not think social media is destroying our country. Just the way television did not destroy you when you sat in front of it hour after hour after school on Saturday morning and watched Warner Brothers cartoons and Tom and Jerry cartoons for thousands and thousands of hours, and Romper Room if you're that old, and Soupy Sales if you were that lucky. Did that ruin you? Of course not. Because what the television set became, once it showed up and people could sit around and watch it, that was our campfire. That was our campfire. That's how we told stories. We sat around the campfire and had this shared experience. Well, what's happened now? Each of us holds our own torch. Each of us has our own campfire, our own social medium. And instead of communicating with your drunken father, you communicate with the world. Coming up in just seconds, Keith Fons from Alaska. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
We have an update from the future. Not looking so great there, Earthlings. Edward is back from time traveling to the year 5000. He claims he was working in L.A. when his boss gave him an assignment, as bosses do. I want you to time travel. Got it. So off he went. Edward claims to have photos of the world in the year 5000. First, the good news. Civilization still exists. The bad news, everyone lives underwater. Edward says the ice caps melted and it was sink or swim. So what will the world be like? He says everything is built from wood, houses, buildings, everything. All this is credible since it's in the Daily Mirror, the world leader in time traveler coverage. Unfortunately, Edward left us wondering, how will people breathe? Won't cars flood out in the water? If the world is flooded, how will trees grow to produce the wood? Edward never said. We'll have to wait 3,000 years to find out. Already the suspense is killing me. Alan First, News 98.1 KMBZ.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, you and I are talking to Keith Fons, who's in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's actually in North Pole, Alaska.
Alaska, where the only thing colder than the temperatures is the attitudes of the people who live here. I mean, who would want to live in a place where the sun sets for months on end and the only way to stay warm is by wearing enough layers to resemble a human-sized marshmallow? And let's not forget about the beautiful, picturesque snow. I mean, who wouldn't want to risk a broken ankle just to walk to the corner store for a carton of milk? Or have to shovel the snow every morning and evening just to leave the house? There's also a state motto, which is North to the Future. Because the only future you'll find around here is, well, not really here. You won't have a future here.
Keith Fons, there was a study revealed this week that listed the best states in America to live in and the worst. And it turns out Alaska's at the bottom of the list. How do you feel about that, Keith?
Kind of not surprised. You know, you have to be a special kind of breed to live in Alaska.
What's the hardest thing for you, Keith Fons, a DoorDash driver, about living in Alaska?
The winter times. Pretty much it's like 23 hours of darkness. We get to like negative 60s, negative 70s, and just the temperature, the cold weather, and the sun never coming up. That's about the worst part for me.
And the best part about living in Alaska, Keith Fons, and by the way, I love your Facebook post, Keith Fons, F-O-N-S on Facebook. Keith Fons, F-O-N-S on Facebook. Follow him on Facebook because you'll see pictures of his great-looking kids and his many, many adventures. Keith, what's the best part about living there?
If you can make it past the winters here, which is about 7 months, the summertime. The summertime is the best. You get 23 hours of sunlight, the nature. You can go places you can't go 7 months out of the year. So there's a lot of places here you can run off and lose yourself and enjoy the summer months here.
Very much like Wisconsin. Now, I discovered something today that I need to share with you that you never have told us about. And I'm disappointed in you, Keith Fons, in Fairbanks, Alaska, that you've never told us about the Arctic Cam. The Arctic Camera gives the real-time view from the second floor of the Fairbanks Daily News Miner newspaper building in Fairbanks, Alaska. The camera is looking south toward the Chena River and downtown Fairbanks. There's a church in the shot, which is the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church, which dates to the founding of Fairbanks. There's a camera right there near you that's always on. and it refreshes like 3 times an hour. You know? Do you know about this Arctic Cam?
Yeah, I've looked at it a few times. It's not something like when you live here, it's not something you know, keep an eye on. But if you're not from here, it's a great resource that you can zoom in and see where we live. And no matter what day, you know, sunny, winter, snowstorms, you can watch the camera and see a good view.
I have posted the link on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling at Facebook, Walter Sterling at Facebook. But here's your assignment, Keith Fonz, because you've secured a lot of free airtime on a network radio show, Keith Fonz. I want you to get in front of this camera. I want you to get in front of the camera. I want you to tell us the day and time that you're going to get in front of that camera and be photographed so that we can all see that you are, in fact, in Fairbanks. Will you do that?
I can definitely do that.
What day and time do you think would work best?
I could shoot for Wednesday, and it'd probably be while the kids are in school, so I could probably do it early morning, like between 9 and noon.
All right, so Keith Fonz, early morning, between 9 and noon, this Wednesday is going to get in front of the Arctic Cam, and we will get to see you, Keith Fonz. The Arctic Cam, which you can find the link to see what's going on in Fairbanks, Alaska, on the Arctic camera at Walter Sterling on Facebook. Thank you, Keith Fonz. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday. The first time I ever became fascinated by cameras was in Monaco. There are cameras on the Monaco beach, and that's very important because the Monaco beach is not only a topless beach, but it is populated by French women. French women enjoy being topless on the topless beach. You can go to the Monaco cameras and watch the Monaco beach. Has this been the finest public service that you could ever imagine? I hope so. Coming up, you and I are going to talk about whether or not my kids should watch Mr. Beast on video. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
6 minutes past the hour across the great country of ours. Welcome. This is a live radio show. There are no other live radio shows. You might as well stick here. If you're driving an 18-wheeler, I congratulate you. You are the great heroes of America, and I thank you for every single thing that you do. When you call, you get put on the air immediately. Tonight, we're talking about whether or not my daughter, who's 11, should be watching Mr. Beast online and the challenges of dealing with children under one roof with two or three or four different sets of parents and two or three different codes coming up in just seconds. Now, Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Buffalo's favorite strip club owner. Murder? Maybe? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Shark attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Dr. Mackin. Dr. Mackin believes in, well, you won't believe it. We'll hear about it coming up in just seconds. However, this past week, excuse me, terrible, should never do that on the air. This past week, I had the non-vacation. The non-vacation for me, maybe you as a misfit, the non-vacation for me is when I have to share a house with a different family other than my own. Because the reason I go on vacation is that I should be able to walk around in my underwear. I should be able to walk around, leave things on the coffee table, make stains on the coffee table, watch whatever I want on TV. That to me is a vacation. But you see, when I was wearing a suit and wingtip shoes, that's the kind of vacation I could have because we'd rent a house. We'd rent a house at the beach, and then over there would be my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law. They'd be in a different house over there. But now that I'm on the air and don't make nearly as much money as I used to, the fact is that I have to share the house with my sister-in-law. If I want to go to the Outer Banks, which I don't, with my kids to give them a beach vacation for a week, which I do want to do, but I don't actually want to participate in this. I don't want to drive 14 hours to get to the Outer Banks of North Carolina to see less than the Jersey Shore, less than the Florida coast, less than Southern California. There's nothing there. They're big houses and nothing else. And I realize that that's the wilderness charm of the place. Oh, my gosh, that's the wilderness charm. But not for me. So now I'm stuck in a house with another set of parents and another set of parents and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And all of them have different parenting philosophies, parenting skills, parenting approaches, which is all a lot of nonsense. The way I parent is I have conversations with my kids. I share with them my deep thoughts. And if they're going way off the rails, then I will sound like a parent. But mostly that's no fun. Meanwhile, my sister-in-law, who has a 10-year-old son, sounds like a parent talking to him all the time. All the time. Does not want the kid to watch online videos. Doesn't want the kid to watch Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is the most popular online video. What does Mr. Beast do? He's an entrepreneur. He goes out, he earns money, and then he gives most of the money to charity. Seems good to me. She doesn't want him to see this. Why don't you want him to see this? I asked her. Well, a lot of it's inappropriate. A lot of the things he says are inappropriate. I said he can't curse on the air. They don't allow him to curse on YouTube. He wouldn't be monetized. He wouldn't get money for the postings. Well, and then these people, these other parents, all have these wacky rules about screen time and how long the kid can watch. My sister-in-law, I'm going to tell you the truth, my sister-in-law actually takes the iPads from her three sons and the iPhones from her three sons and at a certain point in the day locks them in a safe. She actually locks them in a safe. Meanwhile, my wife and I are trying very hard just to figure out how to get parental control of the iPhone. We have failed at that. We tried it for a week, and then we've given up. I believe that if the kid is halfway intelligent, the kid will self-censor. But if there's terrible violence or nudity or cursing that I can hear, no, I'll put a stop to it. Or I'll even say to her, I'll say, Samantha, what are you watching? And then she'll know. She'll know that that's not okay, and she'll stop watching it. That seems to me to be a lot more sane than locking their devices. They always call them devices. We're going to lock away your devices. You're not going to watch any more devices. We're going to put them in a safe. What? What? It's so stupid because what does it do? It has the Playboy effect. The Playboy effect, when you were 13 and 14 and you discovered Playboy, I know how old you are, and you discovered Playboy and your parents put a curse on it, I don't want to see that in the house, I don't want that around, oh my God, it became exalted. It became the most desirable thing imaginable. And I believe that when parents say, don't watch that video, don't watch Mr. Beast. And when they make it a blanket rule, and you can only watch video at this time, and then I'm going to put it in a safe. No, she really puts it in a safe. She puts their devices in a safe. It exalts it. It makes it more desirable. It makes it something that the kid hungers for because the parent has forbidden it. I think this is old news. I think that result of parenting is old news. Dr. Mackin has an amazing story about UFOs and about artificial intelligence that you really want to hear. But I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. How do you manage the screen time with your kids? What do you do? I need advice. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. I have an 11-year-old, and she watches it all the time. The only time it stops is when the battery dies, and then she's very upset that the battery died. This doesn't bother me, because I believe in, I know what she's watching. If it was too extreme, I'd stop it. I know she's not making friends online, because I've made sure we all understand that. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Why am I giving a phone number? Because I'm live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alice Eve.
Maybe three champagnes in, I was a little emotional and was like, what's going to happen to me? I'm never going to see my mom. We're not going to win the World Cup. I'm never going to be on Love Island.
Christopher Macklin has remarkable theories on artificial intelligence. Christopher Macklin says that, unknown to most of us, the AI nanotech campaign against humanity originates in laboratories off-planet. Non-human controllers who are seeking to genetically alter and control humanity for their own ends. These off-planet hosts are the originators, implementers, and supervisors of the elitist agenda that is undermining humanity and our health, our well-being, and our capacity to succeed and thrive during these challenging times. Well, Christopher Macklin, you believe that off-planet beings, alien beings, are controlling us with artificial intelligence. Meanwhile, I've tried out chat, whatever that is, AI, IA, or whatever it is, IPT, cheap, whatever that is. I've tried that out to, like, write a paragraph, write my bio, it's a disaster. How the heck can off-planet beings, entities, control you and me with artificial intelligence?
Well, the thing is, artificial intelligence has to be trained. I mean, the nanotech is basically a storage. Yes, it can read things. At the moment, the nanotech will read your body, like what's your heart rate, are you pregnant? Well, you know, they can read all the numbers of all the blood to see, you know, how many hormones, what level of different compounds you have in your body. But it's actually transmitted out. You know, it used to be by terahertz frequencies. Now, of course, it's by low gigahertz frequencies, which is going to the towers, and, you know, they absorb the data and store it. So, but AI per se is as good as it's been taught. So, and it takes a while, of course. It's like having a baby with nothing installed, and suddenly you've got to create a massive database. And, you know, depending on who trains it and what it's for, depending on whether it's for good or not so good, you know.
How do you know that off-planet entities are controlling us with artificial intelligence? What are the signs? What are the clues?
The clues are, you know, you're now seeing, you know, UFO whistleblower. There's one in the New York Post talking about, you know, the government have been doing this for years, you know, with various craft crashing, and they've taken them to Area 51, or whatever they've taken them, and they're trying to reverse engineer them. Of course, we don't have that sort of technology, but I think they are getting somewhere. And of course, you know, in Hitler's demise, the paperclip project, which brought all the Nazi scientists over to the US, and they kept developing all the technology that was given to us. And of course, you know, there was a deal signed here where, yeah, you can carry on, but you can abduct people. Why do they want to abduct people? Because they've destroyed their planet, like they're trying to destroy ours. I mean, there's a lot of interest in this planet because it has so much, you know, so many, you know, animals, plants, you know, it's got human beings, which are very different than a lot of these alien races, who really have no empathy. They're just after control.
It is a popular theory that the reason aliens are interested in Earth is because they have destroyed their own planet. How do you think they destroyed their own planet? What did they do? How did they make it uninhabitable?
Well, basically by nuclear weapons and wars. It went on, like, you know, the Grazer from Reticuli, and they destroyed the planet. So, of course, there's an element in the planet which they brought here, and now they're trying to, A, create human hybrids, because they also destroy their ability to reproduce. And so that's why they've been abducting people for a long time in and our energy exchanges. Oh, we'll give you technology. But if you think about it, this technology, you know, if you give a three-year-old the keys to a Ferrari, it's not going to do well. And my perspective is it's not doing well. People are getting very sick from this stuff, especially in the latest, Kool-Aid, whatever you want to call it. If people are drinking the new Kool-Aid on COVID and things like this, that's got this nanotechnology. It's also got CRISPR technology to splice your DNA, because, you know, your body's incredible. It's got an incredible immune system. It doesn't need all these vaccines. It doesn't need anything. It can take care of things by itself. But, of course, if you're poisoning people, you know, in the water, in the food, and, you know, you start altering the DNA, DNA, RNA, and immune system, in my perspective, as a spiritual healer, are all the same. So you destroy the DNA, the RNA is destroyed, and therefore the immune system. And, you know, for these new, if you've ingested this new instrument, let's call it, your DNA, your immune system goes down to about 20%, so it can't fight this nanotech. So it starts to replicate in the body, and that's what makes people transhuman. You know, they become what somebody else.
Christopher Macklin, what is a transhuman? What is that?
A transhuman, to me, is when AI is involved in the whole body, and this stuff grows through the tissues, it grows through the, you know, the muscles, it gets in the brain, and, you know, they can transmit thoughts and different elements to actually alter your thought patterns, your brain construction. And to me, you know, the agenda of the deep state is not good.
How does it want to alter my brain patterns? These off-planet aliens, what do the artificial intelligence signals want my brain to do?
They want to try and control you, so your thought patterns change. They want to try and make you, you know, basically an AI robot instead of thinking for yourself. And of course, if this stuff gets in your brain, it's going to influence your thought patterns and brain waves and neurons considerably. And it is doing. You know, if you look at people who have drank the Kool-Aid, it does change them for sure.
Well, what terrified me about the vaccines, about the COVID vaccines, was that every social media platform and too many public forums forbade you from asking questions or debating whether or not you needed it. That's the most un-American, against the Constitution event I could ever imagine. You were banned from social media. You were banned from social media you liked. Your pictures and your identity was wiped out. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't keep your job just by asking a few sane questions. And gee, now, Christopher Macklin, it seems that a lot of very young, healthy people are dying suddenly where it makes no sense. Do you believe there's a cause and effect?
Absolutely. You know, the nanotech, you've got graphene oxide nano tubes and spheres, but they also have other stuff bound to it, like nylon 3633. It has borrelia bound to it, the spirochete of Lyme disease. So it's biologically alive, and it can grow. You know, you think, well, how on earth can you make nylon grow? The answer is because what do you need for growth? When you bind it in a certain way, in a molecular certain structure, you need carbon for growth. You need water. You need oxygen. And you need warmth and moisture. And all your body's got all that. So it starts to replicate. It starts to grow. This stuff is crazy. And for sure, you know, people are dying. Why are they dying? Well, couple of things, you know, just an example, myocarditis, what's that? Well, what's happening is this nanotech is assembling around your heart, and eventually, of course, it's going to cause a heart attack, myocarditis, the heart doesn't function. Also, the nylons is assembling in the arteries. So what happens is, you know, and there's loads and loads of reports of pathological labs and also undertakers that they've, you know, when they've embalmed somebody, they've pulled out ropes of what they call squid. It looks like squid. Well, it's nylon 36, 33. So, you know, yes, for sure. And that's just a few things. There's also strokes because of neurotoxins that makes the capillaries weak. It's a bioweapon. You know, it really is. And, yeah, I'm glad you're talking about it because I've been very careful on social media because, of course, they take your channel down. We've had a strike or two, and then you have to back off a bit, you know, on YouTube, wait for a bit until the strike's gone, and then you, you know, but it's against
and,
the Constitution.
And all we're doing is raising questions, postulating,
absolutely,
giving out theories. All we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing as Americans. Now, I'm going to do this before I get in trouble with Don, your brilliant publicist. This is your website address. Now, I'm going to give your website address, and Christopher Macklin, I'm going to give you a mission. You need a new website address. This is the worst website address ever. Now, I'm going to share it with you. Let's listen carefully. It is globalenlightenmentproject.com. Everybody will misspell it. Global, G-L-O-B-A-N. No, I'm sorry. See? G-L-O-B-A-L, globalenlightenmentproject.com. I'll do it once more. Globalenlightenmentproject.com. You're a brilliant guy. You're great to talk to. Therefore, I want you to use your real intelligence to come up with a brand new website address. Will you do that for me, Mr. Macklin?
Well, I'll try and make it simpler. Bless your heart, Walter.
Well, you're a great guest, and next time you and I are going to talk, which will be soon, I'm going to share with you what happened to me when I got the third vaccine and how it almost destroyed my life. Christopher Macklin at the worst website address. I'll post it on my Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
We have an update on the weather conditions on the California coast. KMBZ-FM, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. Buffalo's favorite strip club owner. Murder? Maybe? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Shark attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Should my daughter, who's 11, be allowed to watch Mr. Beast, the online video star, or as they call them, influencers, Mr. Beast? The challenge has been that when I share a house or I share parenting with another set of parents, they have all these wacky social media rules that I don't have. I trust my kids, and I'm not naive. I know what they're watching. I know how they're watching it, but I'm not going to. My sister-in-law actually takes their devices and puts them in a safe, only lets them watch a certain number of hours a day. She has three sons, nice kids, smart kids. She only lets them watch a certain number of hours, and then she puts the devices in a safe. Are you out of your mind? That only makes it more desirable. What do you think? Advice. I need your advice, which is always good. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And there is Neil and Judy Paul, who heard me discuss the Margate elephant on the Jersey Shore. If you've not seen the Margate elephant, I will put it on my Walter Sterling Facebook page. It's like nothing you've ever seen. Plus, I have brand new video of a drive-through brew, a fascinating, fascinating event. And Billy Datz and his beautiful wife and family are home. I don't know where they were, but he felt it was important to tell me that they were home, and I'm delighted to hear that. The Datzes are home, ladies and gentlemen, of Pittman, New Jersey, where they fix my microphones. No, really, it's a whole system we got going on there. And there are my new Midnight Misfits. my new Midnight Misfits. They are donut bakers in action. They make the best donuts inside and outside of the planet Earth, up all night baking. It's called Up All Night Baking. And I have to tell you, these are the best looking donut makers I have ever seen in my life. Baker boy Steve and his pretty baker girl, Selena Ballerina Baker. Is that the name she was born with? Selena Ballerina Baker. Well, because you have downloaded a Midnight Misfit decoder card, I will be giving out a secret message coming up in exactly 35 minutes on Sterling on Sunday. And now to decode the mess in Hollywood, the famous Randy West, who it turns out on National Radio Day is friends with Pete Salant. Randy West, very excited to have you on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, it's good to be with you. In fact, I was on last week, and you weren't. I was on with your wonderful T.J. Lubinsky. So I'm doing your show more frequently than you are, Walter.
Just like Johnny Carson. Think of me as Johnny Carson.
Touché. Well said, sir.
What is the status of the strike? Is this ever going to end? Are we going to see new shows in September, or are we going to have to wait till January?
Oh, you're going to be waiting a long time. The only thing, we're not picketing tomorrow because of this Hillary situation. And, you know, they overestimated Hillary's strength. And the last time I said that about Hillary was, election night 6 years ago. But as far as Hillary the storm goes, Los Angeles was saved, although other people are having their difficulty. As far as the strike goes, we will not be picketing tomorrow. That's the big effect of Hillary. But on Tuesday, there's a big, big solidarity meeting and march in front of Disney. AFL-CIO folks are going to be coming out there to support the Writers Guild and the actors SAG-AFTRA. And as far as the fall comes, forget it. There is no fall season as we knew it. It's all going to be game shows and reality shows because they're produced under a different contract. If you had sitcoms you like, if you had those hour-long dramas that we've loved, the networks will not have any, and that is going to be a big problem because network viewership has already been on the wane for the last 10 years, ever since streaming came in. Streaming shows, there's a little bit of a backlog, so there is new product, but you know what? They're running out on it pretty quickly. The writers at least had a couple of moments face-to-face with the studio's representatives. SAG-AFTRA has been left out to dry now since we started picketing about 3 or so weeks ago.
I think that streaming has begun the total erosion of traditional over-the-air linear television, and this will put the nail in it. It will no longer be a viable business. What the ABC, NBC, CBS, and Foxes are going to have to do is become very aggressive in the streaming business and use their leverage, clout, and experience to make way superior streaming programming. But the traditional linear business will devolve into, like, news.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. In fact, ABC has even discussed selling, well, I should say Disney has discussed selling the ABC television network that we've known since the 1940s and 50s. They're talking about putting it on the block. They're throwing in the towel and putting all the focus on Disney Plus and all the streaming prior channels. And the other studios are doing the same thing. The handwriting is on the wall. As you say, broadcast television, it will be a thing of the past.
I knew that it was over when my now 18-year-old daughter was 4. And when she was 4 years old, she wanted to see a certain show. And I said, it's not on now. And it was the only fight we've ever had because she never experienced a situation where the show she wanted to watch was not available. It was a specific linear show. It wasn't on DVD. It wasn't streamed. It wasn't on cable. It was a real TV show. And I said, it's not on right now. And she didn't believe me. We had a fight. But that is the change in mindset where anybody who's 18 today has lived a life where everything is available. It was available on DVD.
I want what I want when I want it, and I'm not going to wait for Sunday night at 8 or Tuesday night at 10. I want to see what I want to see when I want to see it. It's an outdated mode. It's an outdated business model, broadcast television is. And this strike, I'm telling you, it's just going to put the button on it. It's going to close it and seal it and lock it away forever. The studios are silly. Because they're just, what can I say, accelerating their demise as far as broadcast entities.
I believe that their demise, I have a good friend who's a reality television expert, and he was speculating that the shows that are being streamed aggressively and wisely versus the shows on over-the-air TV have pretty much been an assisted suicide to the traditional networks. But I said to him, you know what? I'll tell you when the assisted suicide to ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox began. It began when the first traditional network accepted advertising for HBO. The minute they started accepting advertising for HBO, making the world aware of commercial-free movies, that's when it began. But then I really saw it. The game was over. They had no idea what they were doing. On the fifth anniversary of MTV, do you know who gave the biggest celebration of the fifth anniversary of MTV? The Today Show on NBC.
Oh, my God.
They had all the VJs on. They showed clips for a half hour. They were celebrating the fifth anniversary of MTV. And then to compound the crime, they did it again at the 10th anniversary. And I'm like, if I was running MTV, I'd be holding my face in my hands, laughing my butt off, because I couldn't believe the Today Show was promoting me for a half hour.
Right. Now, MTV was a Viacom property. Viacom is CBS. So I could see that almost happening on CBS. But for NBC to go that deep into promoting an alternate reality, an alternate world of viewership, it's insane. Absolutely.
They also had the opportunity to preempt CNN and then Fox News. They had the capability to preempt it. They did not have the internal wherewithal. I will tell you a story for your book, for your next book, because this is like the only story you don't have. Thornton Bradshaw, the chairman of RCA, was about to be presented by the management of NBC for a 24-hour cable news service. He was about to be presented this by the then management at NBC.
Okay.
They all meet in the big NBC boardroom. The NBC management starts the presentation to Thornton Bradshaw, and Thornton fell asleep. He fell asleep. And nobody had the guts to wake him up, and they wouldn't know what they would have said to him if they had woken him up, and that was it. There wasn't a second meeting. There was no more conversation about NBC getting into the cable industry. Oh, my God.
Well,
It took eight or nine more years.
If NBC had done that, NBC would have, the viewers would have fallen asleep.
That's
true.
Don't
you think we have enough news?
Randy West, what's the name of your book?
TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies, and it's half a century of the greatest backstage crazy stories. Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies, TV Inside Out. Thank you, Walter.
And when does The Price is Right go back into production?
The Price is Right went back into production about 10 days ago. The shows will be on in mid-September from a brand new studio, the first time in 51 years they've changed their headquarters. And it's going to look very similar, but at the same time, if you're very familiar with the show, it's going to look very different. Both things at the same time.
Have you seen an episode?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you think? What do you think?
I think the show is the show, and it's taken a long evolution since I was there with Bob Barker working the show. But Drew Carey, been there like 16 years now, has made the show his own, and it's a seamless transition as far as the format goes from Television City to the new studios for this season that comes on in a couple of weeks. But for those who loved the show their whole life, they will see, oh, my God, look, that's over there now, and this is over here, and that sure looks a little bit different. So minor things like that. But the show is the show, and it's not going anywhere until streaming usurps it. You know, one more thought on streaming. You need to know that they're spending as much as $10 million an episode for some of these streaming programs. And none of these streamers, none of them are making a profit, even Netflix. They're all operating in the red, working year after year after year since all this started to plant a flag into the future. And not one of them has seen a return on the investment yet.
Right.
And Wall Street is getting very, very, hey, the projection was we'd see money by now.
No,
so, you know, the studios
who
are dragging their heels, the studios dragging their heels on the negotiations with the writers and the actors, I'm not going to take their position on this, but I do tell you they have never been in more concern about their nest egg and their finances.
They did it to them. Wall Street did it to themselves. Venture capitalists always say our goal right now is to plant a flag. And it wasn't until an hour ago that Amazon started making any money because they were all very busy planting flags. And I know none of those streamers are making any money. And at $10 million an episode, they never will make any money. And I thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Randy West, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's 50 minutes past the hour, live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
Welcome, KSAR. 92.3 in Arkansas. Welcome to the Sterling on Sunday excitement of live radio. Waking up all of Cherokee Village, Arkansas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And congratulations to Steve Moore, the program director of KMOX in St. Louis, the radio station that has won the Edward R. Murrow Award for Broadcast Journalism Excellence. That's a big deal. You know, it's a much bigger deal than most stations that we work with. I will never know why we're on KMOX live for 3 hours on every Sunday night, but I do know that it's a lot smarter, the program director at KMOX in St. Louis, a lot smarter program director than the ones who decide to air repeats of Art Bell on Sunday night. Who's Art Bell? That's right. Who is Art Bell? He died 20 years ago. There are actually radio stations suffering the shame of airing a 20-year-old radio show. Now, if I were to say to them, well, you know, why don't you air 20-year-old songs on your FM? Oh, no, that would only attract old people. Yeah, well, guess what? Airing a dead guy talking about what he heard today on CNN. No, really, you listen to that show, and you'll hear him say, well, you know, today on CNN, I heard about the aliens crossing the village, and they're going to attack my trailer here in the desert. Oh, my God, who would do that? Who would shame themselves on National Radio Day to do that? This is the time for you to send me a Sterling Snap, just like our donut bakers and the Datz family. Welcome. Send it to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. 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 And I will post it on Facebook Monday afternoon when I finally wake up. But I love this. Let me go through this again because I was so happy with these pictures. These pictures made me so happy, but I have to do something with the computer. Ah, there it is. Check out the Midnight Misfits, Donut Bakers in Action. Best donuts inside and outside of the planet Earth. The name of this donut company is Up All Night Baking. Baker Boy Steve and Pretty Baker Girl Selena Mallorina Baker. It's a tongue twister, isn't it? Pretty Baker Girl Selena Ballerina Baker. Now, what she's doing with this guy, I don't know. I mean, you know, Selena, you could do a lot better. Please send in your picture, whatever you're looking at right now. Take that overpriced cell phone that you got, take a picture of whatever you're looking at and send it to me, please, and I'll paste it on my Facebook page, which is Walter Sterling, Walter M. Sterling Facebook. And the email is WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. If you go to my Facebook page right now to have a good time or to kill time during the week when you're supposed to be looking busy, you will see a brand new video of a drive-through brew. This is the only radio show in America that discusses drive-through brews. You've got to see it. John in Cleveland, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm really grateful for you making at least a lucky chance that I picked about five or six men as of your last guest concerning the dangers of the vaccine and your own bad experience with it.
That's and thank you for the call. That's Christopher Macklin, an expert on really interesting things. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. I've got so much to do tonight. This is National Radio Day. I'm going to share with you the best local host I have ever heard in my life. You will hear that coming up in just seconds, plus some things that matter to you, like UFOs. Dr. Dave with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Buffalo's favorite strip club owner. Murder? Maybe? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Shark attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dead stripper. New York. Crystal Quinn, she was 38. She died on August 1st. And now the cause of death is yet to be determined, but they're really interested in one Peter Garaci. Peter Garaci is well known for his strip club ownership throughout the Buffalo area. And we told you before about his gentleman's club called Pharaoh's. Well, Garaci has pleaded not guilty to drug trafficking, sex trafficking, bribery of a federal agent. Dead stripper was set to testify. Dead. Crystal Quinn was afraid and scared. At this point, they don't know. They raided his house again, Peter Garaci. As of right now, these are just allegations and an investigation. Peter Garaci has not been involved or implicated in any way in the death of the stripper that was set to testify against him. Pharaoh's Gentlemen's Club. Yeah, now I'm just going to say this. This may be a little stereotypical. But many exotic dancing emporiums, lap dance heaven, they may be run by people connected with, you know, the boys, a little mobbed up, a little mafia. Not all, but many of them. This guy's off the street, Crystal Quinn, dead. This is a no-win, no-win situation. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Oh, my gosh. Here's Dave Scott, the expert on UFOs. I've been away for a week. I was forced to be at the Outer Banks with my sister-in-law. Would you please share with us what has happened in Congress? What about this testimony about UFOs in the U.S. government? Where is everything standing right now, Dave Scott?
Oh, it's not looking good, Walter, and it's always good to have you back and chat with you. But you know what? The UFO story right now seems to be going away. They want it to go away. The conspiracy theorists are losing the battle right now.
How are they losing the battle? Did the testimony stop? Has it stopped?
Well, there is new reports coming out from certain government agencies that they no longer see a benefit in any more UFO hearings. They feel they have enough. They feel that certain agencies do not want to participate. The military doesn't want to participate, give any of their information or evidence. And therefore, they are calling for a halt on all UFO talks. from this moment forward. Now, whether that goes through or not, we don't know. Congress people like Tim Burchett are seeing right through this. They want to continue on, but the battle seems to be losing on now, the Dave, UFO front right now.
Yeah, Dave Scott, repeat that again. Who is stopping the testimony? Who is pushing for an end to this testimony?
There are a lot of government agents and agencies, all the three alphabet agencies that we're talking about, whether it's the NSA, the CIA, the United States Navy, and many others who believe that there hasn't been enough evidence presented that shows that little green men from outer space are invading this airspaces of the United States, and they are saying that they no longer want to participate in any future talks and whether or not they are worth it. And they are starting to get the ears of certain Congress people and senators who are not for this topic.
Which congressmen and senators are for this topic?
Sorry, you broke up there.
Which congressmen and senators are willing to discuss this?
Well, I mean, you still have a Congressman Tim Burchett, Anna Luna. She really wants to stay on the UFO topic. Marco Rubio and Senator Gillibrand are still on it, but Senator Gillibrand seems to be turning right now.
They knew, the NRA, the NSA, the CIA, the military secret services and all, they all knew that this was about to happen. They all knew that this testimony was about to be given. They could have stopped it ahead of time. Why didn't they?
I think they wanted to see what would come out. They weren't prepared for people like David Grush to come out and talk about his experiences working for the UAPTF. They weren't prepared for fighter pilots like Ryan Graves or Commander David Fravor to come out and talk about exactly what they saw. And now that there is a push for more whistleblowers to come out, this is where they are wanting to now shut it down. And those who are very pro-military, those who are very pro-alphabet agency like the CIA, the NSA, the NRO, they are the ones who are saying, we got to put a stop to this. This is really getting ridiculous.
How would you sum up the past 2 weeks of testimony? How would you sum up what we have learned? What have we learned about the UFO phenomena in the United States of America? What have we learned?
I think what we have learned is that this is really the first real public battle between the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about back in the 50s and what is going on today with elected officials. Many elected officials don't like the fact that there are secrets being kept by the military and alphabet agencies revolving around UFOs. They want the truth of what's going on, and they don't like that pressure. They don't want that pressure. So they're putting pressure on their supporters to say, hey, you got to nip this in the butt. You got to get this quiet. You need to get this subject out of the way so we can get back to work and play with our toys that we've recovered.
Yeah, the thing about the UFOs that have been, quote, recovered, I've always been, well, wait a minute. They could travel many light years and then they crash land here. So I believe any crashed UFOs were shot down. I believe all of them were shot down because there's no logic to being able to travel even from one planet away, one moon away, show up here and then crash. I can't imagine them crashing. They'd have to have been shot down. What do you think, Dave Scott?
I don't think they've been shot down. I think it's something where maybe their craft couldn't handle our atmosphere, the oxygen, the chemicals that we are producing as a planet. Maybe it's CO2. Maybe some have shot down. I wouldn't put that out of the ordinary of something happening. But for the most part, we do know there's enough witnesses to say that we do have alien technology. We need those whistleblowers to keep coming out and confirming these stories that it is true, that there is stuff out there that we cannot explain, that we have the pilots who have piloted these weird, strange craft. We have the technology. We're trying to reverse engineer it.
Dave Scott, what's your website?
Sorry, Walt?
What's your website?
SpacedOutRadio.com.
SpacedOutRadio.com with the great Dave Scott. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, a secret message. You'll need the decoder card to decode the secret message. Where do you get it? WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. Click Midnight Misfit. There it is for free. Download it. Print it. Secrets for you. This is a three-hour radio show. Did you know that? It starts at 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. It's three giant hours of entertainment that you, that blessedly you can't get anyplace else because, you know, broadcasters are smart. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the plane doctor.
You're not supposed to be on your phone. It's bad for the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a plane doctor? No? So shut the hell up.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story.
What we have is at a school in Florida is a mom. She has two kids who go to this school. And she is one of these good moms that volunteers. And it's fantastic that, you know, to have some parents step up because, you know, the schools are always short on volunteers. And so, I mean, this woman's basically a hero and everyone loves her until they find out that, oh no, she has an OnlyFans account. And for those of you who don't know what OnlyFans is, congratulations on being a decent human being. But OnlyFans is a place where you can charge people to access your content and it's sort of, like a do-it-yourself porn site. I mean, you could do cooking demonstrations or you could give music lessons or whatever, but that's not what it's known for. Okay, I know what all the guys are wondering. Is she hot? Yes, she's absolutely gorgeous. Okay, so this Florida mom, she's 31, by the way, and so Orange County Public School says, that's just too distracting. We can't be having you. And I thought that was ridiculous because look at her. No, that's not a good excuse. I mean, this is a sort of a conundrum because I must admit I would find it quite distracting if, you know, I was volunteering for some school event and she, I think I'd be okay with it. What's their problem with this? I don't know. You figure in Florida with all the stuff they have going on, they have 28 other priorities above. Hey, this beautiful mom has an OnlyFans account. But, you know, if parents complain and you're the school board, I mean, what you gonna do? So now the Florida mom is not allowed to volunteer at her kid's school anymore. She says she's gonna keep doing the OnlyFans, but she has also filed a lawsuit against the Orange County Public Schools for $1 million, which would be her biggest subscriber thus far, I'd imagine. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at WalterSterlingShow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
How long ago was the breakup?
Like 2 years ago, but, you know, it's still, like, rough.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you? You're pretty hot. You should definitely, like, be my girl. Without, like, the officialness, you know? Because, like, I'm not ready for that yet. And, I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to be ever, so.
Okay. But, like, are you still gonna talk to other people?
I'm probably not, so you probably shouldn't, because I'm not. But, like, if I do, you can't get mad at me, because, like, we're not official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just, like, really emotionally unavailable right now, so, like, I really don't want to hold you down. But, like, I'm probably not gonna talk to other people, so you probably shouldn't either.
Okay. Do you think, like, down the road you'll be open to, like, a real relationship?
Probably not.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if this is gonna work.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
888-688-WALT.
Oh my God! So this is my front yard. And I'm highly aware of the fact that that is not normal.
Taylor Swift went to the Jersey Shore this weekend. Now, let's just think about that. Have you ever been to the Jersey Shore? You know it's not the Hamptons. And there was Taylor Swift at the Jersey Shore. Now, the thing about the difference between the Jersey Shore and the Hamptons for a Taylor Swift is that everybody at the Jersey Shore knows who Taylor Swift is. Everybody. And nobody's going to be cool about it because they're from New Jersey. If you grew up in New Jersey, you strongly believe you are the coolest person available. Celebrity walks in, celebrity comes into your midst. Well, sure, that's just somebody like us. Whereas at the Hamptons, you're all going to stand to the side. You're all going to try to be very cool. But Taylor, she shows up at the Jersey Shore, and it's a mob scene. Now, you know, Taylor used to have a girlfriend.
If you're a Taylor Swift fan, then last night was a pretty big night for you because there was a lot going on at her show. Last night was the last night of this leg of her Eras tour, and it was night 6 in LA. Fans had speculated she was going to make a huge announcement as there's been so many hints pointed to a potential 1989 re-recording being announced. And fans were actually right, as she did in fact announce that 1989 Taylor's version would be released in October. But shockingly, this re-recording wasn't even the biggest shocker of the night. Since fans sort of predicted it, the biggest shock of the night happened to be when Karlie Kloss showed up at the show and wasn't in the VIP celebrity section, which might sound ridiculous, but we're going to get into why this is a really big deal, because I feel like if you're in the Taylor community and you love Taylor Swift, then you kind of know a little bit about the drama. But truly, it gets crazy. Karlie was spotted at the stadium by fans, and at first when I saw photos of this, I was like, there's no way that's her. It must be like some lookalike or something. But then more and more started coming out, and it was in fact her. She actually went to the Eras Tour, and I really just thought there was no way because of the history that she has with Taylor and the alleged bad blood between them. And for those of you who don't know, Karlie and Taylor used to be best friends. So close that some believe there might have been a little more to the story, but yeah, they were really close.
They were really close. In fact, Karlie Kloss, a Victoria's Secret angel, when she walked down the runway as a Victoria's Secret angel, it seems that Taylor suddenly became a Victoria's Secret angel too, to walk down. Well, that's the sort of thing a girlfriend would do, to hang out with your other girlfriend. It was all bizarre. Now Taylor Swift goes to the Jersey Shore. Pizza, miniature golf. You don't see that at the Hamptons. Her arrival at the Jersey Shore, you mark my words, over the next 12 months, the Jersey Shore will become the place to be. Not the Hamptons, which is overrated and done, but the Jersey Shore. You want to know more about Karlie Kloss? Here you go.
Taylor has special VIP sections for celebrities who have come to her shows, so they have extra security and all of this. And the fact that Karlie wasn't in one of those sections, I mean, it just says everything. People also made fun of the fact that Adam Sandler was in the VIP tent and not someone who used to be her best friend.
I'm sorry. If Taylor Swift used to be my best friend, and Taylor Swift used to say in interviews, this is the light of my life, she's the reason I keep going, she's the love of my life, I love everything about her, and now I'm in lower bowl with the gen pop, I would end it all.
888-688-WALT, coming up in just seconds. No, let's do it now. Here's the secret message that you need a Dakota card to decode. It is the secret message, guaranteed happiness. I've got five letters that will guarantee your happiness. You ready? O, 4, the number 1, ampersand, and the number 8. Real simple. You decode it, and I guarantee you the word will make you happy. And if you take advantage of this word, you will be happy. O, 4, the number 1, ampersand, and the number 8. You didn't get your Dakota card? You can only get it at waltersterlingshow.com. waltersterlingshow.com. Click on the tab that says Midnight Misfits. Download it. Print it out. There you go. What other radio show offers anything like this? Coming up, I'm going to solve the mystery of who the best local talk show host ever was, because this is National Radio Day. And I know you want that information. Plus, I need your advice on, you know, how do I manage my 11-year-old social media consumption? This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
I want your advice. How do you manage your kids' use of social media? The way I manage mine, my 11-year-old, is I'm aware of what she's watching. If there's cursing or some violence, I stop it by saying, "What are you watching?" That's about it. I've got a sister-in-law who locks away their devices in a safe every day. I think that's insane. What do you think? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258 is my live phone number. Now, Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of a bunch of sophisticated car thieves that were stealing brand new vehicles out of car dealerships with a pen instead of a screwdriver. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Shark Attack. Walmart. Hobby Lobby. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. So Walter sent me this story from the Washington Post, but I've seen write-ups of similar issues here, and that has to do with the number of insurance companies that are leaving the state of Florida. And so, you know, I go through this one in the Washington Post. Well, you know, I keep up with the news pretty good, and maybe there's something I could learn from this, though, if Walter thinks it's important enough to send to me. And so they're telling the story of a situation that's happening in Florida at Northport. You know, AAA just pulled out of Florida. Farmers Insurance has pulled out of Florida. United Property and Casualty just went under, and they are the ninth property insurer in Florida to go insolvent since 2021. So in the last 2 years. And I don't, you know, dismiss this lightly, but am I surprised? Oh my God, no. Have you ever heard an episode of Florida Stories before? Of course insurers are pulling out. They've got alligators and crocodiles living side by side, the only place on planet Earth where that happens. Everything gets reset by a hurricane about every, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. They got Scarface at the bottom. They got Deliverance at the top. They've got all the Mickey Mouse stuff in the middle. We've all watched them transfer from, make these great face changes from cocaine to heroin to oxys to meth to bath salts. And I guess fentanyl now is probably taking the lead. Of course, insurance. If you were an insurance company, if you just started your own little insurance firm, I would recommend that you start with the other 49 states first and dip your toe into Florida last. The real story is, how did they have any insurance companies to begin with? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
So it starts off with the funny headline, Florida woman douses herself in Diet Mountain Dew to erase DNA after killing her roommate, 79. And you're like, wait a second, her roommate, 79 years old? Yes. How old is she? All right, this is the perfect question. 35. 35-year-old Florida woman has a 39-year-old Florida woman has a 79-year-old male roommate, and she killed him. She killed him. She took off her clothes. She set him on fire. She went on the run. Cops catch up with her pretty quick because they're like, okay, we have a dead guy. Maybe the roommate knows something. Where's the roommate? Oh, she has disappeared. Oh, okay. So they go and track her down. And the 35-year-old Florida woman, by the way, not too bad looking. I've done worse. But, you know, the neck tattoos kind of ruin it. She would have a really good thing going here. But also in the mugshot, you can see she has the shark eyes thing going, like the animatronic Jaws shark robot from the movie. Those eyes have no emotion behind them. They're incapable of emotion. They can move side to side. They can look like they're looking at things, but they're not actually looking at things. She's just a crazy person. So when you see this lady's mugshot, who, again, the base human being we're looking at is actually quite a pretty woman, but you throw in all the tattoos on her shoulder and her clavicle and then the neck and the 1,000-yard stare. Can you believe that she would get a little stabby on her 79-year-old roommate? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can absolutely believe that. In fact, I probably would have predicted it. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell an auto theft scam that was going on in New York City in the late 90s. At the time, Mitsubishi Motors had a deal going where you could purchase a new vehicle with no money down and defer the payments. I think it was up to a year. Sounds like a great deal. Unfortunately, there's criminals out there that found a loophole in this. So we had Pakistani nationals, and what they were able to do was create phony IDs and phony identities. They would go to these dealerships and they would drive out with a brand new car with no money down. Then what they would do is they would take the cars up to a middleman up in Washington Heights and hand over the keys to, say, a $30,000 Mitsubishi Montero for $5,000. The middleman would drive around with the car for a while until he was able to secure a shipping company. Then he would put the Mitsubishi Montero in the shipping container and ship it to the Dominican Republic, where he had buyers waiting. And he would sell this $30,000 Montero for $15,000 and pocket $10,000. And the scam was going on for a while until Mitsubishi starts sending out repo men, because no one's paying the bills for these cars. And what the repo men figured out was the addresses don't exist, the people don't exist, and the cars are nowhere to be found. So they started reporting the cars stolen and reported it to the auto crime division. By the time we got involved, we realized we were chasing a bunch of ghosts. But we caught a break, because after a while, we caught a couple of the guys that just decided to hold on to the cars a bit too long. And we arrested them. And what we were able to figure out was how they were able to pull off the scam. So when you go to New York State Department of Motor Vehicles to get a driver's license, when you go up to the counter, you've got to produce your birth certificate, a utility bill. You got to produce points of identification to prove who you are so you can go to the next step and get your permit, take the written test, and then go for your driving test. So there's always another middleman. So you would go to DMV, meet with a middleman. He would point to a morally flexible clerk. You would step up and you would tell them who you wanted to be without producing any type of identification whatsoever. And the clerk would just circle these little numbers showing that you produced identification when you really didn't. And New York State DMV at the time did not make photocopies of the documents you would present to prove who you were. So then all you had to do was pass the permit, wait a little while, and then take the driving test, and you could have an identity of any person you wanted to be. And that's what these Pakistani guys did. And then they got themselves a hold of credit histories. And then they were able to hit bang out the Mitsubishi dealerships with a ton of cars. So not every car thief is mechanically inclined. And it's just as easy to steal a car with a pen as it is a screwdriver. So be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
I've gotten so many great Sterling snaps tonight. Thank you very much. Pick up your phone, take a picture of whatever you're looking at. I'll put it on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling Facebook page. Put it up like Monday afternoon after I recover from having to do this insanely difficult show. There's Grant H. Thank you, Grant H. of Delta, British Columbia, Canada, for a great picture of what you're looking at while you listen to the show. And of course, our new superstars, Bakery Boy Steve and Ballerina Baker, Selena Ballerina Baker. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. I hope you got your secret decoder card so that you were able to decipher the very special message I gave tonight, which is a guarantee of happiness. Isn't that what you've always wanted, a guarantee of happiness? Yes, I did, because, a month ago, I get a letter out of nowhere from PNC saying your bank account is closed. Your account has been closed. Your account ending in blah, blah, blah has been closed. If your account had a positive balance at the time of closure, a cashier's check for the remaining balance will be mailed to you. Please destroy all unused checks, withdrawal and deposit tickets, and debit cards associated with your account. If you have any questions or need assistance, well, I did have questions and needed assistance. The bank balance was positive in PNC. Hey, Pittsburgh, the bank balance was positive at PNC. I had a good relationship. I call another number, and I say, "What? Why are you closing our accounts?" And it was about 2 or 3 days before my auto pays would come in, my auto income would come in, and my auto bills would get paid. A couple, 2 or 3 days. You know how hard it is to change the auto pays, how hard it is to change. Oh, my gosh. I said, why? And they said, well, we have the right to close an account for any reason. Yeah, what's the reason? We have the right, just like you have a right to not do business with us, we have a right not to do business with you. For any reason. Yeah, what's the reason? It has to do with your relationship with the bank. Well, I had no relationship with the bank. I went to the branch. I talked to the branch manager. She loves me. She's just as shocked. She doesn't get it. Okay. I go to a new bank. I go to Chase. I like Chase. I go to Chase. And this week I'm at the Outer Banks and I'm going to get gas. And I've had the ATM card for 2 weeks. And the gas doesn't work. I'm not getting any gas. I know there's money in the account. I'm not getting any gas. I call the number. Normal business hours. And it just says, we're sorry, this ATM card is closed. What do you mean closed? It didn't even decline it. It just closed it. Just closed it. And, you know, I blame Bank X, Y, or Z, but they're all the same. They're all a nightmare. And it's time they be brought up and strung in front of Congress and made to be responsive to you and me. Look what happened to the customers of Wells Fargo. Customers of Wells Fargo 2 weeks ago, their deposits were held up for a day or two. They didn't get credit for their deposits for a day or two. We're really sorry. Oh, my gosh. If I ran my business that way, I wouldn't have one, and they don't deserve one. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. I don't think you've ever been here before. Our final Florida story is coming from Wilton Manors, Florida. And it sounds very proper, doesn't it? Wilton Manors. And Wilton Manors has the most adorable problem I have ever heard of. There is an illegal rabbit breeder, and she has decided that she doesn't want to do this anymore. So she took all her rabbits and she just let them out into the wild outside of Wilton Manors. And you would think, well, bunnies, they're going to get snatched up by coyotes or stray dogs or something else real quick. And I don't know how they've done it, but they've reproduced fast enough that we now have a new invasive species problem that I've never seen anywhere on planet Earth. They have these adorable fuzzy little rabbits that are running all over Wilton Manors, Florida. And it is absolutely adorable. The pictures of these things, they are super fluffy. You get this picture of rabbits in your head, what they must look like in the wild. These don't look like wild rabbits. These look like the cutesy ones that are in commercials, like laying Cadbury eggs, or, you know, you're giving one to a niece on Easter. And it is so cute. I would love to have my area overrun with these bunnies. I don't think they would last very long around my neighborhood. There's too many dogs and whatnot. But what a great problem to have. Here's where it gets silly, though. This is where you can't just have a cute little, fluffy invasion. What they have now is these people who are trying to raise the $40,000 it would cost for a rescue group to come, not get rid of the bunnies, not kill them. They want to capture them humanely, neuter them, vaccinate them, and then give them shelter until they die of natural causes. They're saying this is a rescue program. It's like, excuse me, these were animals who are living in captivity, domesticated bunnies who are been set free and they've been given the gift of freedom. You're not rescuing them. You're like recapturing and re-imprisoning them. They just have it totally backwards, but it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. An invasive species of bunnies. Finally, an invasive species we're happy about. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Shark attack. Shark attack. Miami. And no, it's not what you're thinking. This had to do with a gentleman named Oswaldo Reyes, 48 years old, was busy exposing himself, showing off his special purpose to very young girls, first at Hobby Lobby, then at Walmart. The Miami-Dade Police Department, they took care of business and collared this feller. Exposing your stuff, gentlemen, in public, never a good idea. It's even worse when there are children involved. And Oswaldo actually had video from his time at Walmart. Besides the young child, Grandma got a peek at his stuff. Walmart and Hobby Lobby didn't comment on this. Sadly, we have lost our collective gourds. So you can just imagine as Waldo just opening up a trench coat and going, "Whoa, whoa." Yeah, not good. Where can you take children these days? You can't go to the Walmart and the Hobby Lobby. I don't know where else to go. You might as well just leave them at home. Poor Grandma had to see this as well. Oswaldo Reyes, hopefully he's gone for a long time. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Well, what have we learned today? We've learned that our future is being controlled through artificial intelligence from alien beings, from other planets, off-planet events. We learned that from Christopher Macklin. We learned that the way I manage my kid's social media time is by sort of vaguely knowing what she's doing and telling her, what are you watching when I hear cursing? And then she stops. I have a sister-in-law who takes their devices and puts them in a safe. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.